Another thing is meditation, silence. Just not meditation to become more spiritual or advanced, nothing like that. Just to like give yourself some stillness. And the way I meditate is I always use little earplugs and just... I got about 2 minutes into my meditation this morning and my little five-year-old or two-year-old was in my lap. So sometimes it's short-lived, but hey, I'll take what I can get. So beyond that, just basic stuff, stretching, yoga, foam rolling, all the stuff I've already talked about. I won't get too detailed into that, okay? But here's one that you might not have heard that I think will help you if you apply it. It really helps me a lot. It's visualization. A lot of times when we're being bombarded with negative input, we can't help but ruminate on it. But what you can do is sort of use your co-creative powers and visualize what you do want to happen. Like the pool's closed right now. That's gonna affect us. We go to the pool every night. So instead of saying, oh man, this sucks, the pool's closed, I'm literally visualizing that pool opening very soon. I know it sounds maybe silly, but if you practice this in your life, you'll see a big difference. And I had a situation like a week or two ago. I was driving with the kids to the gym. And it was just me. I was kind of practicing for my 7-day retreat I'm doing now. And it was like quickly spiraling out of control. My son Sebastian was just like yelling and crying, and I was feeling very irritated. I found myself like squeezing the steering wheel like that, just with all this tension. And I knew if I was to continue to embody this state of being, it's going to affect everything. It's going to continue to go that way. So as uptight as I felt, I took a breath and I had like a 10-second visualization in my head where I imagined myself turning on a different song, something the kids liked, and I imagined the tone changing. I imagined turning around and saying something kind of funny to lighten the mood. And just I did that real quick. And I did all that, and it shifted the energy, shifted the mood immediately. And that was big for me, because a lot of times I would allow these moods to linger. Okay, so visualize. You're going into a grocery store that you sense is going to be busy. Visualize it beforehand. See it through. Walk it through going your way. Maybe there's a lot of negative people, but you don't run into them. Maybe you just happen to get lucky and someone steps out of line and you get a nice clear runway to the checkout line. You just kind of, you're in and out, easy parking, visualize it. You'll be amazed at how powerful it is and how effective it is when you do that, okay? And then again, make the best of it. You know, like right now, I'm watching these kids. I'm not gonna be at my best. I know that, it's okay. But I'm not gonna just give up and complain either. I'm gonna do my best. As I said, I've been going into the nature a lot and not doing yoga and stuff. But earlier, I don't know if you can see it, before this, I was using my foam roller, I was laying on my acupressure mat, I was stretching because I'm gonna make the best of it. And that can just sort of go a long way. I won't be beaten by this situation because of that sort of positive, optimistic attitude to make the best of it. Okay, a lot of people I see don't doing that. They feel very victimized, and that even though the situation is probably legitimately not pleasant, it can make it way, way, way worse when you have that attitude. And then I would say, lastly, is acceptance, love, and compassion. It's like an elevator out of negativity. Whenever I'm frustrated, if I can just bring my awareness, my focus into my heart, there's almost an immediate feeling of empathy, of like, it's not all about me. We're all connected. It's like just a conscious decision to bring it in here, okay? You got someone breathing down your neck, nitpicking you, bugging you, being rude to you. Dwell here. And you will see the situation differently, and you will not be nearly as affected by whatever they do, okay? So that's my spiel on the empathy, my friends. I'm gonna take a quick sip of water here, and I'll scroll back through to see if there were any questions. I have some pre-submitted here, but feel free to leave some other ones if you guys have any of your own as well, okay? Okay, that's it. Lori asked me what email address to send it to. You can send it to my personal email, victorodo84@gmail.com. I would say just try to keep it. I get a lot of emails from everybody all the time, and it's impossible for me to read them all. So I would just keep it sort of like short, on the shorter side and just to the point, okay? I appreciate everyone that reaches out to me, but I just can't keep up, unfortunately, at this time with like all the emails, okay? I just want to preface it with that, okay? Let's see. Nice. Thank you, Raymond. That's good. Cool. Okay. I don't see any immediate questions. I'll go on and move on here. Ah, this is one that pertains to being an empath right off the bat. Reagan says, dating as an empath. I don't know if it's a characteristic of being an empath, but with dating, I have the capacity to fall hard for people very quickly so I can feel their energy towards me. It can be almost intoxicating. Is there any tips for dating as an empath? And I would say, in your case, girl, don't look at it like tips for an empath. Just ask yourself, why are you doing that? Why are you... Why is that situation in your life that your empathy is allowing you to see? I have some better advice. That was just what popped in my head though. So I'd say is be aware and act accordingly. Meaning, if that's a situation, then you might just have to exercise more discipline than most people to like set boundaries or rules with yourself to not fall so hard, because the feeling can sometimes be compelling. Like for me, I always say, I have like a sweet tooth. My mom was always munching on sweets all throughout her life. So as a kid, I would literally eat breakfast of like pancakes and Pop-Tarts. I ate like sweets all throughout the day. So for me, I'm aware of that. And I have more of a susceptibility to eating, like going crazy when I eat sweets. So I don't really eat them hardly at all, even though I enjoy them. So I've sort of learned from my past mistakes and have to kind of exercise a bit of willpower in that particular area, just being aware. Aaron, yeah, me and Aaron have found a good way to, never mind, it was a boring tangent, but me and Aaron eat this peanut butter meal he suggested. So anyways, we got creative with our desires with that one. But no, what I would say to you is just find a way to not do that. You just shared that you're aware that you have that tendency, so find a way to stop doing that. In your case, be more logical, okay? Not saying you're illogical, but I'm saying don't just let the feelings dictate everything. Another thing is, if that's happening, I would bet if you tune in a little more to the actual energy, you would be more discerning. I would say be more discerning. Use that empathy as an asset, not as, while dating as an empath is challenging. That's a disempowering definition there. Say, because I'm empathic, I can sense this person's energy. It's going to allow me to be way more discerning. Even though there's that desire to like just fall for this person, I'm gonna step back, set some boundaries, and really try to analyze more objectively. Like, even though it's a compelling and stimulating energy, is it the exact energy I want? Okay, so tune in more. Go further into your sensitivity and be more discerning of who you fall for. That would be my tip, okay? Hey, Kev says, how do drugs affect our chakra system, such as ecstasy or marijuana? So this is something that I have my opinion on, but I can't tell you literally how it goes. I would say that different drugs have different effects. Certain ones are more, I would have, you know, can open your chakras more than others. My personal story with like drugs, like marijuana and like ecstasy, like the party drugs. And this is not a judgment. This is just where I am today. You can take it for what you will. But when I was younger, I smoked a lot of weed. And I believe at that time it's because it sort of lifted me up. It took me to a little bit of a higher state, a higher vibration. And therefore it was good. It helped me sort of like you know, see through a lot of the bullshit and step outside of the box a little bit and just be more of a free thinker. But after like my awakening hit and years went by, I noticed when I would smoke, it would actually kind of bring me down. It would like, it would seem to, according to my own perception, lower my frequency a little bit and just make me kind of like paranoid. And I actually found that I felt better not being high. So there's a time, the same substance was appropriate and helpful and catalyzing for me. But because we're always changing, I think it's important to really evaluate where you are now and say, is this right for me right now? So right now I don't smoke weed because I feel just better with not doing it. Now, how do they affect the chakra system? I think that's going to depend on who you ask. I found that when I take like the psychedelics, they blow them wide open and I feel incredibly connected. At the same time, blowing open your chakras all the time isn't always wise because that can lead to a bit of an imbalance in itself. So what I would say for you, don't look for the exact answer to that question. Honor rather your subjective experience. How do these make you feel? It's usually pretty obvious. Are they improving your state of being or not? And just use a little bit of discernment and wisdom and honor your own experience above all else. And I think that you'll be good to go, okay? Okay, Emily. So I'm trying the bubble or mirror visualization or spraying myself with sage, but I still get hives and so much empathy. I don't know what to do anymore. I think your situation is because of your job is not ideal for you. And you don't know where to go from here, so you haven't made a move yet. I would invite you to think about your job and if it's something you actually want, rather than dealing with the symptoms that you're describing, Emily, based on your question there. That's my intuition, okay? That's what I felt needed to be said to you, okay? I hope that helps. A lot of times we get hives and stuff like that also when we're not expressing ourselves. I was working with someone recently that she was getting these like cysts popping or something, some kind of physical manifestation. And I felt intuitively that it's because she's holding everything in. I told her to yell and to scream and to let it out. Let out your angst. Let it express it in some kind of constructive way. And oftentimes we won't have these like physical manifestations, okay? Okay. Okay, this is Reagan again, sort of a similar question, saying that, listen, when I'm texting and talking and communicating with people, a lot of times I can sense a misalignment between their words and their actions and just how they feel. And she's saying it makes it difficult in the work environment, difficult dating, etc., when you can sense when people are like not representing themselves authentically. Tips for navigating. I would say that it's the same answer. Don't look at that. That's a good thing. I mean, you always know where people are really at. And you can be, you make wiser choices. So don't look at it as a problem. Say, wow, I don't need to have something smack me in the face to learn that this person or situation is not ideal for me. I can sense it right from the get-go. At the same time, most people, including all of us, there are times where when we speak or communicate, it might not be perfectly from a state of alignment. But so that's not to say rule out everybody whenever that happens, but use it as information. Use it kind of like a scientist would analyze their life and say, ooh, okay, this person's saying this, but I can tell they're feeling this, so I'm going to keep my eye on them rather than look at it like a problem, okay? And I know it can be tricky sometimes communicating with people because it's like the question is, what do I deal with? Do I address what I know you're actually thinking and feeling, or what you just said to me? So sometimes it's like, it can be kind of tricky. So just do your best with that. Just know it maybe is a kind of challenge. You just have to, again, use your own experience and discernment and allow yourself to make mistakes. There's been times where someone has said something to me and I've addressed it as what I knew they actually felt, and they looked at me like surprised that I would react that way, but I knew what they really were all about. And there's other times where I just didn't feel like dealing with all that and would just sort of like play along. So yeah, I guess it is one of the tricky aspects of having that. But I would, again, focus on the positive. Christine simply asked me when my birthday is. It is June 1st, coming up soon. Gemini. Okay, Veronica, what's up, girl? I know you're new. Welcome. She had a few questions here. I believe there was a bit of a language barrier, so I don't know if I have an exact understanding of what you were trying to ask. I'm gonna do my best, okay? And I appreciate, I always say, sometimes when I talk to people and they don't speak English perfectly well, I always say, hey, do you know how many languages I know? And they're like, how many? One. So that's the day I am trying to juggle two, and I can do those great, then maybe I'll complain. But I think it's neat that anyone can communicate, you know, be bilingual. So we'll throw that out there. Anyway, it sounds like, Veronica, you want to find your soulmate. Is that right? You might have met him, but you want to kind of like focus your intentions in that way. How do you do that? So I always tell people three things. One of them, I'm going to steal my boy Aaron. He's got this new formula. It's pretty badass to sum up sort of his philosophy. And it's, and I'm paraphrasing here, but it's authentic, passionate intention, meaning make sure it's a sincere desire and goal of yours. Combine that with visualization and feeling and emotion, and then decrease the importance. So I'll do my best to explain that. My point is, make sure you want a soulmate because you want a soulmate and not because you're bored or in pain or feeling unfulfilled and your mind thinks that'll fulfill you. If it's not a truly authentic, sincere desire, those things tend to not manifest as quickly. And if they do, it's not what you really wanted or expected anyways. It'll just be a learning lesson that'll fall into your lap. But if the case is that it's something you really want, then put it out there. Really imagine yourself. Imagine the kind of person you'd want to attract. Imagine how that person would make you feel, and do that every day sufficiently enough to feel it. Like I do that all the time. I visualize every morning about where I want my life to be. And I'll imagine different scenarios, and I'll imagine the scenarios enough until I can kind of capture how it'll feel to obtain that. And then, but the idea is to decrease the importance of it. You can't be too needy or wishy or wanting. You really have to kind of like put it out there and then like be totally cool that it's not there. Okay? So examine if your intent, what you want is sincere. Take time to put it out there into the cosmos, and then also love yourself and know you don't need somebody, and try to have that kind of vibration, and you're a manifestor. You'll be surprised, okay? Okay, and again, I'm sorry if I don't pronounce your name correctly. It's Aista, A-I-S-T-A, what's up? She says, I know it's off topic. It's actually a good question, but she says, do you have any tips on like how to follow your heart's desires, how to not be afraid to express yourself? Yes, it's this. Don't need to be not afraid to do those things. I get afraid to shoot YouTube videos and put it myself out there. To this day, I get nervous. I have the doubtful critic always talking to me. But I've learned that if I was to wait for that inner critic to have nothing to say, I would do nothing. I would be just sitting idle my entire life. So don't need to be not afraid. Courage is the ability to act in spite of your fear. So you don't need to not be afraid. Just be courageous. Just jump. Just do it. And let the nerves do what they're gonna do. And the more you can get used to doing that, the more you get used to the critic. And the more you realize it's not as powerful as a lot of us have assumed, and that really anything you can do, anything you want to do, you can do, because you don't need to wait. It's just about trusting yourself and taking those initial leaps of faith to get the experience, and then it gets easier and easier and easier and easier, okay? Okay, you just gotta go for it, okay? That's what I feel for you. Just whatever is on your mind that caused you to ask that question, just do it, okay? And say it blows up in your face, so what? It really doesn't matter. Their mistakes only help you in the end anyways. In fact, I was listening to this one book by Maxwell Maltz, and it talked about people who are really successful in their business. They said that the people who get really good, they learn to just look at everything like a test. Like they're always just testing ideas. And the more ideas, products, whatever you test, the more mistakes and failures you have, the more pain it can be. But they said that there's like a correlation between all of their successes, and it's in proportion to how many times they failed. So in that sense, failure, disappointment is good, because it just, it's more and more and more information to help you clarify and narrow in what you want, and you'll have more successes the more you allow yourself to fail. Okay, so don't be afraid of failing either. Awesome, cool. Good comments, guys. Okay, this one is for Liz. She says, "Hey Victor, when sharing information, how do you," this is more like a business question, "how do you like decide what I'm gonna share for free on my YouTube videos and on my emails versus what I charge for, like courses and that kind of stuff?" She wants to make an e-course, like a digital course, but her fear is that people won't feel like they got value from it. Okay. So it's kind of simple. What I share for free is it's valuable in a different way. It's more broad. When I make a YouTube video, I want it to reach and inspire and impact a lot of people. And it does. I design it in a way where it's going to be compelling to click on, and people are gonna watch it and like feel moved. But that at the same time, that's not as like, I don't really go into deep processes of like how to do that. Because for one, there's not enough time in a simple YouTube video, and those don't do well. Like the whole talk I just gave on empaths, now you guys might assume would do well in a YouTube video, but it wouldn't. When you're creating content, there's so many content creators out there that you're sort of like fighting for attention, basically. So you really have to keep people engaged and be really produce an immediate acute feeling. I would say your content's more inspirational, more general, more designed to reach and impact and inspire, and your courses are more like specific processes. That's a general way to think about it. Another way you can think about it is that people a lot of time will pay for convenience. Like you can sort through, you can watch 600 of my YouTube videos and learn a lot of the stuff that I sold in my courses, or you can pay like $27 and have it all right there in your face. And in a half hour, you know how to do it and get that exact result. So you can sort of look at it in that way as well, okay? Okay, this one's for Sarah. How do you get your mind to not spiral and ruminate? So she's doing her best. She's working with dogs and babies now, and it's helping. And she finds meditation to be difficult, which a lot of people do. So I'm going to answer a question like this. I'd say that's a lofty goal that you should pursue with reasonable expectations, Sarah. I just watched this movie, Karate Kid, with my kids last night, with Will Smith's son. And there's this one scene where they walked up to this like cool mountain in China. And there's this woman on this ledge where like she was like hanging off the cliff, where she would have fallen. She would have fallen like hundreds and hundreds of feet to her death. But she was on one leg doing these crazy poses. And there was this cobra snake in front of her, like like kind of like following her movement. And this kid was asked Jackie Chan, his teacher, I said, how is she doing that? That's crazy. And he was explaining, he said, what's going on here is here. They're both still, is what he said. The mind of this woman and the heart were both very still. And the kid was like, well, how can I do that? That seems pretty neat, obviously. He said, what she's doing took an entire lifetime. Okay, so yeah, pursue stillness, control. But it can take a while. It takes discipline. It takes practice. Be patient. Don't look at it as something you need to have accomplished by next Monday. Okay? And it sounds like you said movement and being in your body and art seems to help. Do other things as much as you can that seems to help. Meditation, I think a lot of people struggle with it. And if you do now, I bet in later, maybe a little bit later, you'll get to do it. And it's not essential. It's the most direct way to do that, though. But for a while, for the time being, do things that work for you. If being around babies and doing art and stuff puts you in your zone, do more of that. I go to the Red Rocks and just play around with the rocks just aimlessly like a little kid. And my thoughts are, they get very quiet. When I would stare off at the ocean, when I was living in San Diego, same effect. Even when I listen to hard rock and roll music, it puts me in, I become present. So whatever works for you, just do as much of that as you can, but don't have the desire to, again, accomplish this tomorrow, okay? Okay, Maureen. She says, is an empath someone who takes on people's emotion? That's okay. She apologized for it being long. We'll get through it. Is an empath someone who takes on other people's emotion because they feel it so deeply? I would say, she's saying that she asked if that's what an empath is because that does happen to her. So she's like, if that's the definition, then maybe I'm an empath. I would say it really doesn't matter. I think everyone's an empath to varying degrees. Some people become so sensitive and perceptive that now there's a label for it, but it's certainly nothing that you are or you aren't. You're a human being, you have senses, you're an empath, okay? Now, people who are very sensitive have that phenomenon where you can feel other people's emotions. A lot of the empaths will say that's a quality of it, and then if you want to call yourself one, then go for it, but again, it doesn't matter. It's more just about you're you and I'm me, and we have these shared sort of senses. So I would say it's not an important question. You just be you. Okay, don't worry about that. But by most people's definition, you would be an empath. What up, Dez? It says, hey guys, I find this an interesting idea, Vic. What would your thoughts be about the idea that as an empath, the emotional connection you have with other people can go both ways? And the idea of being able to influence and nudge and not just passively feel other people's emotions, if that's the case. Yeah, exactly. That's the whole, where holding your own and holding your space comes from. A lot of us are here just to do that. Not everyone is going to feel inspired as a light worker to teach and to heal and to do that. A lot of us came here to hold space, to influence other people's vibrations simply with our own being high and being grounded and being present. So if that was what you're saying, just as you can feel other people's energies and emotions and be affected by it, you can overrule theirs with feelings of love and compassion and that kind of thing. And you'll have an effect on people. So yeah, that's a very noble way to use your empath skills, I would say. And something that we're all doing in our own way. Okay, almost done here. Cindy, she says, what is your take on the mandala effect? Have I noticed it myself? Do I feel a shift in reality and dimensions, etc.? Or are we all just very confused? So my take, my personal take on the mandala effect is personally, I believe it could very well could be a real thing. For me, all the examples I've read or listened to, I don't know with 100% certainty that my memory isn't serving me. Because I know a lot of times we remember something, but it's not exactly as it happened. So I'm not, I don't feel solid enough to know if it's my memory or the mandala effect actually. I don't know. So if you guys don't know what the mandala effect is, it's kind of like where big groups of people have a different memory of something that happened within history than other groups of people, and there's like conflicts, almost like two realities have kind of started to overlap. So I personally haven't noticed anything that earth-shattering in my own experience like that, but do I feel that there's like a shift in dimensions and reality happening? I do feel that. I think most of us feel that. I feel that very strongly, intuitively. I feel that I came here to participate and help in it, not ask too many questions, and just sort of like do my role, be myself, just go with the experience. That's like my intuitive understanding of it. I think as time goes on, we'll understand it more, we'll maybe see more evidence of it, but I think we already are seeing plenty of evidence of it, at least in our own lives especially. So yeah, that's my take. There's a lot of different perspectives and opinions on that. So I would just say when you hear, just always be discerning of what resonates. So yeah, that's, I don't have too much to talk about the mandala effect. I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay, my friends, I think, my kids are probably getting antsy. I'm going to go give them a hug and a kiss for letting me do this, this session with you guys this whole time without any interruptions. It's been a pleasure to have you here. I hope you guys got a lot out of the first portion about all the different empath stuff. In about a day or so, this will be uploaded to the membership site, and there'll also be a nice PDF sort of like summary that you can kind of have as your cheat sheet if you find yourself being affected by challenging situations. Just want to say thank you for everything. I hope you're all doing fantastic. We'll be in touch soon. Peace.